You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Are you feeling the love today? Because the big pharma sure isn't. Welcome back, my friends, to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Today, rocking the health world with things that you won't hear anywhere else. In fact, we've got Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez scheduled for the show later today. Lots of exciting things as we tackle the big media bias against natural healing and the doctors who actually are willing to step out of the pharmaceutical pill bottle to do what is right by their patients. So lots of cool stuff happening. Also, diabetes. We got the answer for diabetes, and we're going to reveal it today. My dear friend, nutritional historian Christopher Barr will join me on the Robert Scott Bell Show here in a little while. We'll also talk about cancer as well, some whole food nutrient options to absolutely reverse both diabetes and cancer. So you don't want to go anywhere until you get that information and share it about, spread it all about, shake it all about, like doing the hokey pokey here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So Big Pharma needs to feel the love. They need to feel wanted, evidently. There's a hilarious story here, if it wasn't so sad. Pharmalot, P-H-A-R-M, Pharmalot covers these things from time to time. Pharma needs to feel loved and wanted. This is out of the United Kingdom. About 6,000 blue chip jobs are leaving the United Kingdom as Pfizer, Glaxo, and AstraZeneca gradually shutter operations. What are they? They're not feeling the love, or is it just it's costing them too much to do business there? Confederation British Industry Director General John Cridlin tells the UK's Channel 4, "I'm concerned about the future of pharma in the UK. I think government has taken the sector a little bit for granted. I'll say it on behalf of the sector. They need to feel loved and wanted. The UK is not as good a place to invest as it was 3 years ago when we went into recession." Of course, you know, the whole idea that they're not loved. Good Lord, that industry has the greatest amount of love. And that's a really pale reflection of the word love. They have monopoly granted by big government, of course, to the tune of annual death rates that are atrocious among the most dangerous industry in the world, which is the, well, not the pharmaceutical industrial complex. It should be considered the military industrial complex. But at least you know what they're all about. No pretensions there. But in fact, Big Pharma may actually be killing more people. And of course, I'm not sad to see them go. I realize the economy is tanking everywhere. But can we do something that actually brings benefit to people rather than detriment and toxicity and disease? I mean, I think that's a little legitimate question as we're looking to how do we reset this economy? Because we certainly don't need more of Big Pharma's drugs. We have enough already. And you know, a couple of days ago, I was letting loose on Big Pharma's unethical research going throughout the 20th century, maybe even further back. But also the reality that I wanted to reveal was that this is ongoing in the 21st century as well. Now we have the actual meeting that took place that I was mentioning. The panel was told, get this, there is no guarantee against unethical research. After all the big government rulemaking here, they've got over 1,000 rules and regulations to prevent such abuses, and it's not enough. How much would be enough? 10,000? 100,000 rules? Bioethicists and researchers spoke Tuesday before a presidential panel in Washington. The meeting was triggered by the government apology last fall for federal doctors infecting prisoners and mental patients in Guatemala with syphilis 65 years ago. So Obama looks like the hero, I guess, because he ordered the Commission for the Study of These Bioethical Issues to explore whether such study could ever happen again. In other words, these corrupt studies that damage and completely ignore informed consent. And it turns out, even with 1,000 rules, Obama, not enough. It'll never be enough. Because you can't make rules for people that have no conscience, that are willing to do this to their fellow humans or animal friends. This is the fallacy of big government. We could just make a law. There ought to be a law. And of course, when the federal agencies ignore or don't even enforce the law, then you get to call, Congress critters get to say, let's call for another law. So what are they going to do here? There's 1,000 already rules on the books, regulations on the books to prevent these abuses, these horrendous, horrific abuses. And yet it happens and it will happen again. Because the medical industrial complex has been shielded from liability, just as Scalia said, they're so dangerous, it's the only way they'll stay on the market is if we prevent anybody from suing and going after them for damages. How about the American people and the people of planet Earth get wise to Big Pharma and say, no more, I don't care how many rules or how many mandates, we're not participating. Nullify now. This is the concept that has to be integrated immediately to recognize that no amount of rulemaking will stop people from polluting or corporations from polluting. The EPA is not doing that. They're actually facilitating and enabling the polluters. And of course, those private property owners that want to use their property according to their best interest without polluting or harming anybody else are prohibited. Only big multinationals have the ability to lobby the government to get those special privileges. And it is so with Big Pharma. The only thing that will protect us from Big Pharma is no, it's not the FDA. The FDA is enabling them just like the EPA enables the polluters. The only thing that will protect us is to stop participating, is to nullify them, stop taking their drugs, stop going to doctors who prescribe drugs outside of true, genuine emergencies. We talked about the animals. I mean, you know, 80% of all antibiotic use in animals, you end up eating the animals. You end up having all kinds of aberrant scenarios, including children growing, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old into puberty, into adulthood because of the estrogenic mimicking compounds from pesticides, plastifiers, even the antibiotics are corrupting the integrity of these little children. This is another big reason why I'm concerned about the environment of the economy. Because it is poor people, they're preying on the weakest among us, whether it be here in the U.S. or outside of the U.S. in other countries, India, Pakistan, Guatemala, know that they don't have much economic opportunity. Big Pharma comes in, they're making billions, they throw a few, it isn't even 20 pieces of silver. I mean, they're throwing them breadcrumbs. And people are buying into it and say, okay, give me the breadcrumbs, I'll subject my child to your experiment, or I'll subject myself to your experiment. And of course, the worse the economy gets, the more people they will have to guinea pig on because of the desperation of the people that have been made desperate because of the way the economy runs, to the benefit of the bankers, to the benefit of Wall Street, to the benefit of multinational corporations with no allegiance to any nation or state. There is no benefit to the left or the right if you consider yourself liberal or conservative and you're not connected to the higher ups, to the elitists. There is no benefit to having a Federal Reserve System, fiat, funny, fake, phony money. Unconstitutional coin, debased. There's no silver, there's no gold. And of course, that's part of why you need to participate in the upcoming Be Prepared, Not Scared seminar with Mike Adams and myself talking about economic survival. I'm getting word that this is filling up pretty fast for Mike, so definitely get there, sign up. You'll see the links at naturalnews.com or go to naturalnews.com/economic survival. Lots more healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. In fact, as I said, we're going to hit diabetes with my dear friend Christopher Barr, and we're going to be talking about a very simple way to reverse hypoglycemia and diabetes through whole food nutrients. As well as addressing cancer, remember Suzanne Summers is going to be coming up with Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. We'll be talking about things that they would never allow to be discussed without countering via ad hominem attacks like they did on Dateline NBC in covering Dr. Gonzalez, Suzanne Summers, Dr. Brzezinski, and more. But before we jump into the topic of diabetes, there are absurdities that happen from time to time. So ridiculous. Who paid for these things? And that brings me to today's
moment of duh.
What are you people? On dope?
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
You're crazy!
No.
What is your major malfunction?
Yes, today's moment of duh brought to you by a big study published in the British Medical Journal where they studied, oh my gosh, almost 80,000 women in the U.S. between 50 and 79, and guess what they found over 10 years? Yep, you got it. Smoking and a couch potato lifestyle boosts cancer risk. Is that your moment of what?
Duh.
Oh my gosh, somebody paid for this. Smoking and couch potato lifestyles boosted breast cancer rates, colon cancer rates, those who exercised, those who didn't smoke. Imagine that. They were healthier than those that lived the other kind of lifestyle. Who pays for this stuff? I don't know. I'm just reporting it. And that's the kind of absurdity that you get out of the mainstream science that is not science, it's scientism. I suppose we could talk to a sixth grader and say, "Here, little Johnny, sixth grader, here's a pack of cigarettes. I want you to take one of these every day and smoke them and see how you do." Do you think he'll even figure out? Might not be good for his health for the most part. How about if we sit him down on the couch and feed him potato chips all day? Do you think we needed a study to show that little Johnny would not be well either? But we needed a study of women in their 50s and older to show us what we should already know? Well, anyway, you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show for reasons unknown and known, primarily because you're fed up with what's gone on in the old media and you're ready to know about the truth and the facts. And so what we're going to do next is, in fact, cover the facts regarding reversing diabetes with nutrition. No glucophage, no metformin needed, no insulin needed, unless, of course, they call it type 1. Then we'll show you a way to reduce your need for that insulin as well. Also talking about reducing cancer via the use of supplements, even though the FDA refuses to allow that information to get out despite being sued 7 times. And, of course, Jonathan Emore beat him back. Doesn't matter. They don't want you to know these facts. That's why you're here listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through Natural News. Coming right back with my dear friend, Christopher Barr, nutritional historian. You want to reverse diabetes? Stay with me. We're going to do it after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome back to the United States of Health Talk Radio and the whole world of talk radio. In fact, online here through naturalnews.com. Remember naturalnews.com/Robert Scott Bell to sign up for the email alerts. We've got some very cool things happening today. As I said, later on in the program, we plan to have Dr. Nick Gonzalez and Suzanne Summers back with us talking about cancer and the media bias against natural therapies and naturally inclined docs and non-docs alike. And I've got a not a doc with me now, a dear friend, an old friend who has been with me on my weekend show during, for many years, in fact. Christopher Barr is a nutritional historian and more than that. And he's a whole food nutrient type expert, and that's an understatement. And I wanted to bring him on to kind of precede that because we want to talk about some whole food type ways to address some of these issues, including cancer. But before we actually launch into the cancer discussion, Chris, welcome back and welcome to the new Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, it's great to be on the daily Robert Scott Bell Show with Natural News. I'm honored and delighted.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. And in fact, there's a story that launches us today on something you know so well, the issue of diabetes, the real cause, the real reversal as such. And there's a story out of here. It's off of MSNBC. Anytime Microsoft's involved, now we know Bill Gates may be funding every bit of the news coming out. But it says diabetes out of control in many countries, according to a study. You know, not only is it out of control, they're saying, well, people aren't getting the right treatment, even in the United States. Of course, their focal point is always on drugs, and of course, diabetes is not evidence of a metformin or glucophage deficiency. So, Chris, welcome again. Rock and roll on the diabetes issue.
Well, they aren't getting the right treatment in this country because, more than 50 years ago, U.S. government scientists at the National Institute of Health identified the cause of diabetes and said so. I've latched on to that through 5 decades now, going back to the 1970s and now just into my 5th decade on getting the word out about chromium. And, you know, chromium is, I call it the single most important nutrient discovered to date, although readily acknowledging that very few know very much about it, and most of what the few know is wrong. You know, I'm all about nutrients that are grown, whole food nutrition, you know, not the ones manufactured in the laboratories from all kinds of assortments of chemicals. And all nutrients, it's been demonstrably proven, even a federal court of law has ruled that whole food nutrients are superior in at least some ways. And one of those is absorption and the body's use of them. But in no case is the difference greater than with the mineral chromium. The difference is like night and day, or in fact, it's so dramatic, we wouldn't be too far over the line if we said the difference is life and death.
Yes.
Because non-whole food chromium has an absorption rate of less than 2%, and in some cases, less than 0.5%. And yet a whole food chromium form has a tremendous absorption rate. And it's that lack of chromium, a gross deficiency of chromium, that is the primary cause of the adult onset type 2 diabetes.
Right,
you know,
right.
This has come about in the last 100 years because, you know, we have a diet that has removed more than 90% of the chromium if you're eating white flour or white sugar or white rice, or then you're having more than 90% of the chromium removed. And the funny thing is, when they do that, they turn those foods into simple sugars, and it's simple sugars that need chromium the most, and they've removed the vast majority of all of the chromium from those foods. So your body starts cannibalizing your own body for chromium wherever it can find it for your everyday eating habits,
yes,
which are bad.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I just want to reiterate here, Chris, when we talk about nutrient deficiencies, you know, they're very much identified with things of a more of a gross nature, of a broader nature in history, when they talk about the things like scurvy and beriberi. And for some reason, it's escaped the general population and the medical community, even though the science is there, and we'll get into that, that the lack of something so simple as a trace element like chromium is resulting in so much ill health and so much specificity, in this case, to hypoglycemia and diabetes. And I think that's something that we can no longer overlook. And we'll get into some of these forms of chromium even more as well. But how do we see this in terms of the lack of chromium, and the response is, okay, your body goes into a hypoglycemic and or diabetic spiral?
Well, first of all, when you don't have the chromium that you need and your body can't utilize the sugar, the first thing that happens is you end up with spiking up and spiking down. That's hypoglycemia, low blood sugar,
right,
which is actually a forerunner to high blood sugar.
It's kind of like it precedes it, Chris. I look at it almost like the body is just trying to keep up until it's exhausted its supply of chromium, and that leads to the more severe issue of the diabetes later on.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the Centers for Disease Creation and Promotion, as I like to call them,
exactly,
because I like to be accurate.
Yes.
They have more than 1,000 hits on their website on chromium, but all of them are about toxicity issues. And, you know, toxic chromium is man-made chromium. When man monkeys with it, and they even say that right on their website, although they're not that clear, they admit that chromium in chromite ore, that means the way it occurs in nature, is in the trivalent state, which is completely safe. And then it just kind of half-handedly says industrial processes also produce the elemental metal and hexavalent chromium. Well, it's hexavalent that is a toxin, but you can't get that except from industrial processing, you know, like making stainless steel or, you know, chrome for, you know, bumpers and faucets, et cetera.
You know, I was talking to Mike Adams, the health ranger, yesterday about the issue of fluoride, the fact that, you know, even what they claim is fluoride that they're throwing into municipal water supplies, a lot of it's coming from China, but it isn't even fluoride. It's fluoride in combination with a whole host of other things that are being mined out of the ground. They're waste, toxic waste products that are being repackaged and sold to American municipalities and fed on the, you know, on the spurious notion that drinking it is going to be helpful to our teeth.
Yeah, drinking a toxin.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be pretty similar to giving out hexavalent chromium, which you can't get. So the toxicity issue is a non-issue when it comes to supplementation or dietary sources. But there's one place, and only one out of more than 1,000, at the CDC website where it's amazing. They have the whole information about the importance of chromium succinctly stated. They don't promote it, but let me just read what the Centers for Disease Control, as they're commonly called, says on just one page out of millions on their website. Chromium is an essential dietary nutrient. It is required to potentiate insulin and for normal glucose metabolism. So they know that you need it for insulin and for sugar metabolism. And then they note that chromium deficiency has been associated with cardiovascular disease, decreased lean body mass, decreased sperm count, elevated percent of body fat,
right,
fasting high blood sugar, sugar in the urine, impaired fertility, impaired glucose tolerance, and maturity onset diabetes. So they know this.
It's all there.
Promoting it.
Well, and also, not only we mentioned the hexavalent chromium, which was, I think that was the that Julia Roberts movie. They talked about that. And what was that called? Do you remember that?
Aaron Brockovich.
Aaron Brockovich was about that as well. But even so, there are dietary supplements still being sold on the market that are synthetic, if we can call them that, tell me if I'm being accurate here, forms of chromium that are not a food-grown state that also have, if not as toxic as hexavalent chromium, still not functionally available in real terms for the body to use to correct these issues that we're talking about, whether it be hypoglycemia, diabetes, or other things.
Well, yeah, there's there's chromium in a chromium chloride in a trivalent state that have very low, less than 0.5% absorption rates. Then there's chromium polynicotinate, which is about 2%. That's not a whole lot better than 0.5%. And then there's the biggest selling one called chromium picolinate that was actually patented by the U.S. government. And chromium picolinate actually causes cellular damage at the DNA level, and precisely because they're delivering it the wrong way, not to mention the fact that picolinic acid is a highly cytotoxic agent. That means it's toxic to your cells. And what chromium picolinate does, in essence, is it delivers chromium inside the cell, but it does so by breaking down the cell wall, and that's why it causes DNA damage and other problems with long-term usage. See, the government thought this was a good idea. We'll get chromium into the cell. The problem is that's not where chromium's supposed to be at anyway. Besides breaking down the cell wall and causing DNA damage, chromium's role is at the entrance to the insulin receptor site that is the delivery site for sugar to be delivered into the cell, mm-hmm. and chromium facilitates that delivery into the cell. So the numbnuts in the government are using a system that, in the first place, delivers it to the wrong place, and in the second place, does so by a means that causes damage over time to the cell. So, like I say, it's the most important nutrient discovered, but very few know much about it, and most of what those few know, it's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in the 90s, I remember hearing about chromium picolinate. Suddenly, it, like, came out of nowhere. And there were multi-level marketed companies. There were dietary supplement companies, direct market. I mean, it was going gaga over there. Turned to find out that it was the federal government that held patent on that form of chromium. How bizarre is that?
Well, it's even worse than that, because what it means is when people were buying and are still buying that they're actually paying off the government to come against them, because, you know, we know the FDA is no friend to supplementation. So you're actually funding the efforts of the enemy to shut you down by taking an inferior product that in the long term is harmful anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. We're talking to Christopher Barr, a dear friend, nutritional historian. Notadoc.org is the website if you want to read a whole history of articles and things that he's written. And he has a book on chromium, in fact, and how it impacts so many things, including the reversal of diabetes. It's very simple to do. Depending on the severity, duration you may have been suffering, will help to determine how long it may take to recover. But I've seen it. I've witnessed it firsthand as well. And Chris has seen it in so many for so many years. I want to talk more about this on the other side of the break here with you, Chris, as well as we want to target cancer as well with the whole food nutrients before we go to Suzanne Summers and Nick Gonzalez later on in the show today. So, Chris, stick around. We're going to be coming right back with more powerful healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through naturalnews.com and rocking the health world. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
I'm getting so educated by you. That's why I'm calling, because I want to find out if this is true or not.
Well, you've just frightened the mainstream of America by saying you're getting your education from me. You understand that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Welcome back, Rockin' the Health World, today with my good friend, nutritional historian, not a doc as he's called, Christopher Barr, returning here. We're going to talk diabetes a little bit more, also jump into the cancer fray. And the reality is that we can reverse these diseases via nutrition. The imbalance is occurring due to the lack thereof coming from the food, if it's even there in the soils. particularly if you are on a chemically grown type diet, you can expect that most of those things are not present in the food. But the additives, like we talk pesticides and other things, will rob you of whatever nutrition is there. If not in your body, it will rob you of it as well, leading to more deficiencies, maybe increasing cancer. Not maybe, but definitely. So we want to reverse that. But specifically now to the issue of diabetes, Chris, we were talking about the GTF, the whole food form of chromium, as opposed to other forms that are not appropriate for the body to utilize and may in fact be toxic. Getting to that point of how do we utilize it as well, but there are a few things to go before we get there. Go ahead.
Well, the end of the very tiny amount of information the CDC has on chromium as a benefit is amazing. The last paragraph, first of all, they admit just what you said. The biologically active form of an organic chromium complex, often referred to as glucose tolerance factor, is believed to function by facilitating the interaction of insulin with its cellular receptor sites. So they're still a little behind because they just believe that that might be the case. That is the case, Robert. And I've been
yes.
telling people since the 1970s, and I've been seeing the evidence of it and having it reported to me by literally thousands of individuals over that period of time.
Yes.
But the last statement is even more incredible, especially coming from a government and pharmaceutically based bias, because the last statement says, studies have shown that the chromium supplementation in deficient and marginally deficient subjects can result in the rapid reversal of many of the symptoms of chromium deficiency. So here we have the Centers for Disease Control admitting that supplementation with chromium can make a difference in a hurry. And you know, now I do have to mention about GTF.
Yeah.
You have to be careful because the government hasn't regulated that term at all. So every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there that learns about chromium in the manufacturing field will have a tendency to throw GTF on their label because there's no identifying factor.
Well, it's kind of like, Chris, it's like the word natural. It's not regulated like the word organic. So the definition is loose and free. Anybody can kind of fake it. You know, they talk about MSG. They have it in the product. They call it a natural flavoring, right? And it's similar to that it's not enough to read the label and see GTF on the label to determine that it's truly a whole food. That's a different level of scrutiny, is it not?
It absolutely is. And the difference is, again, a night and day or even life and death difference. And few and far between are the actual whole food, the grown varieties. So you really need to get a grown variety, and you need to get the right amount. It's 100 micrograms taken three times a day. So that's 300 micrograms over the course of a day.
Well, let everybody know,
general figure.
Chris, why is it that somebody will say, hey, Chris, how come I can't just take 300 micrograms once a day?
Well, because the body, well, for the same reason you can't eat 3,000 calories all at once and get a giant caloric intake during a day. Your body can't utilize all that, so you're going to store it up as fat in the case of calories. In the case of chromium, you're going to send it out the urinary tract because the body just cannot process that much all at one time. Now, I've actually found individuals that can take 100 micrograms every 2 or 3 hours and said they really feel the difference that way. But for general purposes, if you just break it up, you know, three times a day, unless you have an extreme need, which is rare. Even in diabetics, I rarely find someone that needs much more than 300 micrograms a day to start reversing these blood sugar issues when you're using a whole food form. You know, there are studies on chromium picolinate where they're using 1,000 micrograms or 1,500 micrograms a day to get some effect. And it's not consistent, and it's not nearly as good as whole food. And again, you're using ultimately a toxic form of the nutrient. So you use lesser amounts of the whole food variety, and you get tremendous results.
Right, right, right. And I've seen this as well in my own experience in working with many people now, in fact. I used to utilize only homeopathic medicine because that was my initial training into working with health and healing, and actually had a lot of great successes. But once I integrated the GTF whole food form of chromium it through the roof. I mean, it skyrocketed. And I've mentioned these remedies when we talked together on my show that I've been doing for, gosh, since 1999 almost now. But for the new audience here at Natural News, I certainly want them to understand these things. And I'll go through that as well. I'll just mention them briefly as well. Two of my favorite homeopathic remedies that address the pancreas in these diabetic hypoglycemic scenarios include lycopodium and iris. But again, without the chromium in there, that's the functional molecules that, you know, the body is working with to do what it's designed to do.
Yep, and that's exactly where the problem is with a gross deficiency over the last 100 years. So we're seeing diabetes at much younger ages. It used to be a 70-year-old disease. Now the average age of diagnosis is down to almost 40 because the deficiency has become so commonplace. Throughout Americans and throughout the world that are adopting Western lifestyle eating habits, you know, white flour, white sugar, white rice.
Yeah, and that's the article here that I was actually, it was coming out of Reuters originally about the diabetes. It's run wild. It's epidemic levels. And they're saying an estimated 280 million people, 6.4% of the world's population, are suffering from it. I mean, this is stunning. But of course, in the war on diabetes, if you can call it, because they always declare war on these things, they're not integrating this knowledge of whole food nutrition at all. They're only looking for new drug therapies and, of course, things to prop up the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
Yep. Even though the CDC, right on their own website, if you dig and can find it, admit that supplementation can make a rapid reversal of sugar issues with chromium.
Yeah, and the treatment, again, is not requiring any drug interventions when we get the chromium back into the system in the right form. If we're dealing with children, and this is happening all too often now, we may need maybe 50 micrograms at a time. That's what I've seen working at, with kids.
Well, I give them 100 micrograms once a day, and if more is needed, I give it to them a second time. They can utilize 100 micrograms
no problem.
In a child.
That's great.
Yeah, no problem.
But we also have the other component of form of diabetes, they call it the type 1 diabetes, which I believe is a big time vaccine induced and other environmental factors. And that's a different story than the type 2 scenario. But there is also some level of benefit that I've seen in type 1 scenarios.
Yes, absolutely. Because, again, it's a sugar metabolism issue. It is different, though, and you have to monitor more closely. Because when you increase chromium, you will need to decrease insulin, and type 1 diabetics are insulin dependent. So they have to do a careful balancing act to make sure that they reduce their insulin as needed when they start adding in the chromium that their body does need.
Mm. Well, again, it's really good insight as far as something very practical, and you could do it for fractions of a penny on the dollar compared to Big Pharma and that which is approved by FDA and, as we mentioned, promoted by CDC, which is a drug and vaccine culture, not something we can ascribe to here. Now, Chris, unless we skip something, this is the first intro to my audience here with Natural News for you, and I'm glad to have you on. I appreciate you coming on board. But I also would be remiss if we didn't transition a bit into the issue of cancer, since I'm going to have Nick Gonzalez, who you know, and Suzanne Summers talking a little bit about the controversy of the old media and Big Pharma's attempts to discredit, marginalize, ridicule, ad hominem attack doctors like Gonzalez, Brzezinski, and others who are having success with cancers that are supposedly irreversible, even in many cases, as they say, when they claim, well, chemotherapy can do it. We know different. But Suzanne Summers, what is she guilty of? Writing about it, revealing docs that are doing this kind of thing. And you and I know that, again, whole food nutrients are the key to reversing, much less preventing cancer.
Yeah, specifically the mineral selenium, which, this is actually the centennial of selenium's discovery as an anti-cancer agent. Dr. August von Wassermann from Germany, who was actually a historically significant individual, who noted that he had success in treating, not preventing, treating cancer with selenium 100 years ago. And it's been documented in medical journals in every decade since then, although even in nutritional arenas and in alternative cancer circles, this information is almost unknown. And, I've seen complete reversal of stage 4 breast cancer without medical intervention using very high doses of 100% whole food selenium. I've also seen reversals of colon cancer, stage 3B ovarian cancer, a growing list of cancers in individuals from utilizing amounts. I'm talking about 1,000 micrograms per day, which, you know, sends shudders of horror even amongst nutritional people, because they don't understand the importance of selenium as not just a preventive. And by the way, it's documented in scientific double-blind clinical studies that selenium is the most cancer preventative item on the planet. There's no medical drug or procedure, there's no vitamin, amino acid, nutrient, or otherwise that has been demonstrated anywhere near as efficient. A more than 50% reduction of all forms of cancer amongst those taking just 200 micrograms of whole food selenium every day. That was a study of more than 10 years with more than 1,300 individuals. So, in fact, I recently saw, Robert, it's $200 billion a year to treat cancer in America.
Yeah.
If you put every American on 200 micrograms a day of selenium, all 300 million of them,
yes,
it would cost $100 billion. So that would cut in half, more than in half, all the cancer, which means you're going to cut more than in half.
No, you talk about the billions, maybe into the trillions of lost everything in regards to the treatment of cancer as such. So, yeah, it's much more than that. But, of course, as we know, the way the government is situated in the National Institutes of they call it health, but it's seemingly medicine-oriented only, and a toxic medicine at that, the investment is only in new forms of chemotherapy, modifying targeting radiation, surgical techniques and advancements, and, of course, the fact that a supplement, as you know, Jonathan Emord, our friend, has sued the FDA now 7 times, beaten them back just to force them to accept freedom of speech, the First Amendment, to allow people to know that selenium may, as they say, may help reverse or prevent cancer.
Yep, exactly. And it's a fact. I've seen it, again, since the 1970s. I've been working with this area also, and much more in recent years, as the evidence is just undeniable if you'll utilize it. And the government knows that they've got a website on selenium in which they note its documentation in relation to arthritis, heart disease, thyroid function, AIDS, immune system function, and cancer. They know it,
yeah,
but they don't promote it.
Well, again, the forms are very critical. It's not that sodium selenite or selenomethionine, which is out there in the supplemental industry, has a zero benefit. But again, it's the difference, a night and day difference between the whole food form, which is basically the way you're designed to get these nutrients. Therefore, you'll get the full benefit about everything that you put in instead of wasting significant percentages of it.
Yes, and the toxicity issues that are almost always brought up when you start talking about selenium, that's because of selenium that is not utilized. Sodium selenite is poorly utilized, so it stacks up. Selenomethionine is a little better utilized, but still not very well utilized, so that can stack up. But when you have a form that the body utilizes, you're not accumulating it, and therefore you don't run into the toxicity issues.
Yeah.
Plus, you have much better usage of the selenium as well for so many things that it does, not the least of which is preventing cancer better than any other substance or procedure that's ever been found by man.
All right, Chris, stand by. I'm going to hold you over a few more minutes to wrap up this discussion, not only of the diabetes issue, but the cancer issue, utilizing whole food nutrients as such. We may let you know where you can get some as well. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show. You can check me out at robertscottbell.blogspot.com for updates. Sign up for the email alerts through Natural News at naturalnews.com/Robert Scott Bell. Also have more news on the upcoming Economic Survival Seminar that Mike Adams and I will be conducting on March 20th. Lots more to do on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. Coming right back after this.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show. Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
Welcome back, Rocking the Health World with Chris Barr. And we have covered diabetes. We're still covering the issue of cancer. Next hour, we'll be talking with Nicholas Gonzalez, Dr. Gonzalez, as well as Suzanne Summers, talking more about these controversies of reversing cancer through whole foods, nutrition, things not approved by the FDA, so you know they're safe and they'll work. And a little bit more on this issue of cancer as well. Chris, utilizing, we talked about 200 micrograms of selenium. I definitely, anybody comes to see me, that is a starting point as well. But there are cases where some people are in desperate need of selenium. You know, they're already in the throes of cancer. And normally we would hear, as you mentioned earlier, the risk of, oh, concern for toxicity. You very eloquently stated it's the wrong form not utilized that creates the problem. What kind of levels have you achieved or reached in people coming to you for some assistance in any way for these conditions? Can you ramp it up above 200? Is it necessary? Is it safe? Let my audience know about that, please.
Well, the things I'm talking about are documented. These aren't things I've made up or just thrown darts at a board about. I've got science, strong science behind it. 200 micrograms a day is, to me, as you said, the starting point. The government recently reduced their recommendation from 200 to 55. Well, to put that in perspective, in Japan, just in the diet that they consume with fish and seaweed and their soils being rich in selenium in that island nation, they consume in their diet more than 500 micrograms daily. So our government is telling us that we need only 10% of what the Japanese get. And, oh, by the way, the Japanese have the lowest cancer rate in the world. That's not a coincidence. That's a correlation that's accurate.
Yes.
We have documentation on Dr. Ralph Donaldson, who did a four-year study with humans, a clinical work, who had terminal cancer. And they were all supposed to be dead in less than a year. There were 140 people. And after 4 years, he still had 103 of them alive. Hmm. And he noted that even of the ones who did die, that there was reduction of tumor mass and reduction of pain in every case. Now, what did Donaldson do? He just tried to get blood levels up to normal for Americans, which is a little more than half of the Japanese level. So he wasn't trying to treat the disease. He was dealing with people at the Veterans Administration Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. And he was trying to see what quality of life issues might be benefited. He used whole food selenium, and he found that nobody got back to normal levels with cancer at less than 400 micrograms daily, and he said that was rare. The normal amount he found was from 900 micrograms up to 2,000 micrograms daily, and in one case, far more than that. So I feel real safe and have worked with this for years now, telling people, look, 900 was the minimum that he found effective. So if you're not taking at least 800, you're not really serious. And I encourage people to take 1,000 micrograms, which is commonly what I find people that I've worked with who have cancer. Mm. And as I said, I'm seeing medically documented reversals of cancer, complete reversals, not just survival.
Yes.
Where the doctors have run PET scans and done CA125s and x-rays and said they can no longer find cancer. One recent report told me the breast tumor, the doctor said, it's gone. Hmm. And they didn't use any medical intervention. They just used medical monitoring. Because these are people that, you know, they weren't just going to jump on the nutrition bandwagon and put their life at stake.
Yeah.
They were going to doctors to make sure if it's not working, they're gonna do something else. But they didn't need to.
Right.
And that's with 1,000 micrograms daily of a whole food selenium. Mm. And I tell people to spread it out, take it morning, noon, evening, and bedtime. So you keep a constant flow and you're able to better utilize smaller amounts more frequently than, again, not eating one giant 3,000-calorie meal a day. Spread it out.
Yeah, exactly. And, the length of duration of time to get these results varies. Obviously, depends on the severity of the deficiency and other factors. And expect that you have a loading program. You know, your body firstly is abject deficient, and you've got to start flowing it in there, and it's desperately utilizing every bit of it until you can start maintaining or regaining an adequate amount, or even maybe a surplus, to address these very severe issues. We talk about the terms of heavy metal toxicity, pesticide toxicity. All of these things serve to deplete the body of its selenium stores. You mentioned the Asian examples. They eat a lot of sea vegetation, which of course contains selenium as well. But here we have a whole food form. Mike Adams recently featured this and did a really big splash on it. In case they're out, because it was such a tremendous, overwhelming response to the whole food selenium, there are other places to get them. And Chris, you can let us know about our friend, Jonathan, choosetobehealthy.com as well.
Yeah, choosetobehealthy.com keeps the whole food selenium in stock. In fact, they, as I understand, do a pretty good business with it. Again, you know, our dear friend Chuck himself had fought very valiantly and for a long time survival against cancer. So, yeah, at choosetobehealthy.com, you've got, I think that's 1-866-424-1077.
Yes, that's right.
The,
866-424-1077. Again, we want you to get the right forms here. That's what we'll talk about here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, going back to organic whole foods in your diet and lifestyle, and should you need to supplement, which we're acknowledging in these cases, definitely chromium with diabetes and other things, as well as with cancer, the selenium. And we're not saying it's only one thing, but these are the most significant things we've found, let's say, if we can call it clinically speaking, in real world experience in reversing these things. And Chris, I'm so grateful that you would spend the time with me today to let loose for the natural news audience here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, I'm delighted to be on your daily broadcast now, and glad, so delighted that you are on daily. And again, just getting the word out, we've barely scratched the surface of this subject.
Yeah, we've got a lot more to do.
You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in America who doesn't need 200 micrograms of selenium every day, just because of the lack of it in the soils.
Yeah.
Common farming practices like adding sulfur amendments, that eliminates the plant's ability to take selenium up into the plant.
Right.
So, you know, whether it's low levels in the soil or practices that don't allow it to get into the plant, we got a serious problem in America.
Yeah. Well, let's rock the health world. We do every day here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Chris Barr will be coming back from time to time. I love to have him on because he's added so much to our understanding of the way to reverse these diseases through food. Oh, my gosh, Chris, you must be public enemy number one at CDC. I love it. Well,
I think they're pretty much just ignoring me at this point, which is fine.
Yes.
I really don't think they want to make a public example out of me because I have so much dirt on them.
Yeah, exactly.
And because I have scientific documentation. This isn't just talking out of my hat.
No.
And most of the documentation I have is from U.S. government-funded or subsidized studies.
Yeah, it's amazing. Use their own evidence against them. That's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do next hour as well with Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Christopher Barr, thank you for being a part of the Robert Scott Bell Show today. And now just a quick reminder before we wrap up this hour and head into Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Be prepared, not scared. It's a very special seminar on economic survival. First in a series we plan, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I, to cover. And the registration is now open, limited availability. Please take time to go there. You'll see the links there on the naturalnews.com front page, or you can go to naturalnews.com/economic survival. And we will be giving you some real good information, valuable, usable, practical information to prepare yourself for the economic disaster ahead. This isn't a doom and gloom seminar. This is a responsible seminar to prepare you for things as they shift because of the fiat money system and the Federal Reserve's intent on destroying the dollar. What's next? We'll tell you about that more. We'll have Mike Adams on to discuss it and preview it as well in the coming days. And that'll all be happening Sunday evening, March 20th. Sign up right now. There's limited space available. And thank you for being a part of the Robert Scott Bell Show here every day, where we cover healing on all levels, economic included. And next hour, cancer on the horizon, media attacks on natural cancer therapies, and the people who provide them. You gotcha. We've got you some information on how to beat them back at their own game. Coming up next on the Robert Scott Bell Show, where I remind you every day that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you
to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
We have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show. As promised, we have an exciting time here to do with my dear friend Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, and he connected us with Suzanne Summers, who I had on last Sunday on my weekend show. And these are two true champions of health freedom, doing what's right in order to get the information necessary for people to make informed decisions about very serious issues like cancer and other things. Suzanne is an author of 20 books, and she's been on the medical speaking circuit for years, doing wonderful things there. And many doctors, you wouldn't know this if you watched the old media, are actually very supportive of what's happening out there as far as the awareness growing about natural ways to prevent or reverse disease, as I said, including cancer, despite the government media complex and the pharmaceutical complex not wanting this information to get out there. It is, we are, and thank you both, Dr. Nick and Suzanne.
My pleasure. So nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be back, Robert. Always enjoy talking with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you both on. Now, the thing that stimulates this is in follow-up to having you on last week, Nick, and Suzanne as well, you appeared with Dateline, that television show, and they covered things with Nick, this whole thing, for about a year to come out with this hour episode where they basically ignored the bulk of all the good things that were happening and now even utilized other so-called allies of ours to attack Dr. Nick, Dr. Brzezinski, and others, and you, Suzanne. So now we're finding out there are conflicts of interest present here. I guess this is time to keep the heat on because the new media is really going to make a change here with them.
It does make you wonder why. And it's interesting, though, the comments that I've had from through my website are people who were able to read through the lines and could see that so much was withheld. But it was really a disservice to Dr. Gonzalez and Dr. Brzezinski, both who are dedicated, credible, credited Western-trained doctors who are doing incredible things. And when I first interviewed both of them, I said to Dr. Gonzalez, well, that's all well and good, but I really need to talk to some of your patients. For any of the patients that were willing to talk to me, he was so forthcoming and with no restrictions. And I would use the word cured. I would say, are you cured? Because Dr. Gonzalez and Dr. Brzezinski, neither of them will use the word cured. And the first woman I interviewed who had stage 4 ovarian had been managing it beautifully for the last 12 years with no side effects, no drugs. She said, well, I consider myself cured. I don't even think about it. I just follow Dr. Gonzalez's protocol and I do what he says and I feel great. So those stories needed to be told for hope because
right.
This is such a hopeless situation right now with the present cancer protocol. And we watch famous people, one after another, and as Dr. Gonzalez and I have talked about many times, if it was working, that'd be one thing, but they walk into this treatment over and over again, which is, what is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again?
And then expecting a different result, yeah.
Right. And so Dr. Gonzalez and I have talked many times about it. It's not about fame. It's not about how much money you have. It's the protocol doesn't work. So here's a doctor with another option that I can see it working. I've often told him that if I were ever to get cancer again, that I'm the type of patient who would and could be compliant to his program. And that, I think, is the key, don't you, Dr. Gonzalez? You must be compliant.
Yeah, we've studied the patients who've done well in the group that hasn't. Most of our patients do fine, and invariably it's compliance. Of the group that doesn't do well, 9 out of 10 times it's major noncompliance. No, it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, if people want to continue drinking, smoking, eating junk food, and that's fine, but they shouldn't be in my office and trying to do my therapy. It really is a lifestyle modification program, and people have to be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take the credit, but the patients do all the work.
You're right. You're right. And it's funny. I did a moment of duh earlier today around another study showing that women that smoke and are basically sedentary eating junk food have a higher risk for cancer. I'm thinking, who paid for this study? We know this, don't we?
Yeah, really. That is a no-brainer. And with all the interviews that I did for Knockout, it came up in every single one. It's about what we're eating. It's nutrition. I loved what Dr. Gonzalez said to me, and I repeated over and over again. He said, cancer is manageable. I said, what, huh? What do you mean? He said, if you give cancer what it wants, it will leave you alone. I said, what does it want? He said, it wants nutrition, and it wants a detox body. And that's what it comes down to. You have to watch what you eat, and we have to be aware of the chemical assault and how do you detox your body from this violent, greatest environmental assault in the history of mankind on humanity.
It's incredible because it's a very low-tech response to those that understand that high-tech medicine seemingly is the way to go. We'll only cure it if we have billions of dollars of more research into things that are not even natural to the human or animal body. And, of course, right. Dr. Gonzalez, you know this so well because what you're doing is so basic. If we look into the history of healing, it goes back in time as opposed to embracing, even though I like technology and leaps, it's kind of cool, but in regards to cancer, we got to get back to some simple natural basics.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trained to do bone marrow transplants under Robert Good, who did the first bone marrow transplant in history, so that's about as high-tech medicine as you can get. And the reason I don't do that is because it didn't work. And those in the field know it really isn't. I mean, it makes a lot of money. A bone marrow transplant can cost $500,000, $1 million per shot. It's an really expensive procedure. Insurance covers it most of the time. It's a nice way to make a living, but it doesn't work. And the reason I do what I do now, which is the antithesis of bone marrow transplantation, high-dose chemo, and radiation, is because what I do now works, 1,000 times better than what I was trained to do. It just works so much better. And it is unfortunate that all the resources are going into continuing to look into the same high-tech chemical approaches to disease that are not very effective, particularly in terms of cancer, just not effective.
Yeah, go ahead, Suzanne.
Well, I think another really interesting thing that Dr. Gonzalez told me is that he doesn't require that tumors be removed. And I talked to a lot of patients who still had tumors, and not only was it Dr. Gonzalez who said that, but Dr. Russell Blaylock, a renowned neuroscientist.
Yes.
He said often tumors will digress, and Nick said that when you feed the body correctly, the tumor kind of just leaves you alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, isn't it, Nick, that sometimes surgery will make the cancer spread by removing that tumor?
There's some evidence in some circumstances that's true. Biopsies can do that. That's been shown for liver cancer, for prostate cancer, even for breast cancer. If a tumor is encapsulated to give the devil its due and they take it out, the chances are it's not going to spread. But oftentimes, cancer will start spreading more aggressively after they do surgery. There's some evidence that the primary tumor, for example, if you have metastatic breast cancer and still have the breast lesion in the breast, that the primary breast cancer actually sends out molecular signals that kind of control the aggressiveness of the metastatic lesions. You take out the breast lesion, the metastases go crazy. Mm-hmm. So there is an ecology, a symbiosis even within a cancer that sometimes leaving the primary alone can be beneficial. The body can learn to live with cancer, and that's what Suzanne was talking about earlier. We use the diabetes model of cancer. A diabetic can live to be 100 years old as long as they follow their diet and take their insulin. Well, we have patients that have been with us 23 years or in their 90s now. As long as they follow their diet and take their pancreatic enzymes, which is what we use to treat cancer along with nutrition, they just keep going. Now, yes, sometimes the tumors go away, and some of the patients Suzanne interviewed, like the lady with ovarian cancer with metastasis in the liver, the tumor is completely gone. I have other patients that have been with me 20 years, and they still have evidence of tumors. They could be dead, they could be encapsulated, but they're certainly not harming the patient, the host. So the body, if given the right nutrition, if the body does the right detox, you can live at peace with your cancer. It isn't necessary to blast it to kingdom come so it's completely gone. You can get into kind of a homeostatic equilibrium with your own cancer as long as you're following the right nutritional approach.
Right.
It would have been so uplifting on that Dateline program to have listened to those patients of yours talk. I'm thinking of those two women in particular who I love meeting. What we're looking for in cancer is hope. What that program did was create a cynicism about any options, and that I thought was really a disservice
sure.
to humanity. To focus on, and I think you should talk about this, Nick, to focus on radionics, the hair analysis.
Yeah.
And as I said to Nick, it's strange that in forensics and drug testing, hair analysis is absolutely legitimate.
It's standard,
when
yes.
When a doctor wants to use it as an adjunct to just get up more information,
yeah.
he gets criticized.
Well, I want to go back to something you said, Suzanne, earlier, and we definitely want to, because they're literally, it's like the media was trying to put the light out for people. You know, when you
yes.
talk about hope, and we've talked about there's
right.
no such thing as false hope. There's hope or there's not hope. But in the case of what you were talking about with removing tumors, and Nick, you just talked about that as well. Looking at the energetic, because I look at things energetically as a homeopath, and I see that you can disrupt the energy flow within the body via surgery, which, as Nick acknowledged, you can disrupt certain things, and then you see a growth of more cancer. And I have seen personally in patients over the years, one particular case, which was a stunning. She was also an author, a brilliant woman who had a grapefruit size. It was a growth in her uterus, basically. And she thought it was just a fibroid. It turned out, now how we found out about this is we made sure she got on a good organic whole foods. We brought the nutrition in, used homeopathics, and literally she passed this right out of her body. Removed it, and it actually was a cancerous tumor. And so the body has the ability to reject these things, or as you've seen, Nick, too, to reabsorb them. They kind of dissipate of their own accord when you give the body what it needs and you get the things out that are not supposed to be there. This is such a basic concept, but I think, Suzanne, they wouldn't allow something so simple to get out there, because then the magic of what the doctors in oncology do would be dissipated, and no longer would people believe them as easily.
And you know, I'm watching right now, there's someone in the news who, I won't use his name, but you'll know who I'm talking about, who is very, very bright. And I see him walking into the same treatment that Patrick Swayze took. And I think to myself, how many times do we have to watch this? And this is a brilliant person. How many times do we have to keep accessing a protocol that so clearly doesn't work? And one of the questions I asked in Dateline, or put forth, was maybe it's all just simpler than they've tried to make it. But now it's a $200 billion a year business, and nobody wants to change that paradigm because there's too much money at stake.
And also the rebel.
Dr. Gonzalez,
yeah.
who's sitting there, you know, and they try to make an issue of what he charges, which is so minimal considering what cancer treatment costs in the oncology world.
Right.
And she even asked Dr. Gonzalez to look at his tax returns, and because it's modest, she didn't choose to use it so that he could come off looking like he was in it for the money. If anybody is not in this for the money, it is Dr. Nick Gonzalez.
Yeah. And funny, they didn't ask for Dr.
I want to take up a fund for him.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm in it for the money, I'm not doing a very good job.
No.
That's for sure.
You're a failure.
And they didn't ask for Dr.
Money grub, I'm a total abject. Dateline could have made that argument that I'm
yeah.
a total abject failure in the money game. That's
well,
for sure.
And interestingly
you know,
enough, Dr. Gonzalez, they didn't.
You know what's
they
not
didn't.
Covered, but,
I'm sorry. We got to go to break just momentarily, but they didn't ask for Dr. Weil's tax returns, did they? And they let him espouse
right.
on things he had no knowledge
nor
of.
Nor did they ask Dr. Weil if he'd ever treated a cancer patient.
Right. Interestingly enough. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of this break, a special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show today with Suzanne Summers, author of 20 books, including Knockout, and my good friend Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, extraordinary physician, helping people to heal from things that the mainstream media does not want you to know about, or if they do, they try to marginalize it. We're not doing that here. We're talking the real stuff. More with Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nick Gonzalez after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show. On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Welcome back to the special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. My guests this hour, Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Again, a lot of controversy in the old media about the treatment of physicians and advocates of physicians and non-physicians alike, for that matter, that are promoting holistic therapies, natural means by which people are overcoming cancer. Suzanne was making notes about the fact that you can't even use the word cure, even though the patients use the word cure. And it is kind of strange that the government gets to decide what a cure is. It's like the emperors of old. Is there freedom? No, we have a king, a queen, an emperor, and it doesn't seem to matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. They seem to fall in line with this medical monopoly nonsense.
And it operates on fear. What has happened to me in terms of putting out a book such as Knockout is a lot of people come through my website and Facebook, all looking for information. And I said I've become a router because I can, through an email or a telephone conversation, talk to someone and say, well, feels to me like you're the kind of patient that would fit well with Dr. Gonzalez. There's some patients that I talk to that would never fit well with Dr. Gonzalez. They're not going to change their diet. So, but when I was listening to Dr. Weil and the other woman from Sloan Kettering, what was extremely distressing was that neither of them have ever treated a cancer patient. But she is, the doctor from Sloan Kettering was not an oncologist, not an MD. She was a PhD in sociology. So for her to comment as an expert, I thought was very misleading. And for Dr. Weil, who is known as an integrative doctor, but really is more of a orthodox doctor with a toe or two into the alternative, and that makes him integrative. But he's never treated a cancer patient. And as Dr. Gonzalez and I were talking, he was ridiculing coffee enemas and ridiculing radionics. And yet here's a guy at Harvard who wrote his thesis on the on nutmeg, on the what was it, Nick?
Narcotic properties of nutmeg.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah, he was a big proponent of hallucinogenic drugs. Yeah.
Right. And so why? Why would these doctors want to squash hope like this? That's what I don't understand.
Well, yeah, that is a very big and important question to ask, because, you know, we might think in terms of good, the goodness of people and helping others. There's been a lot in the media, and I've been covering it this week on the show, about the revelations of the federal government basically sponsoring and endorsing experiments on humans, whether it be here in the U.S. or in other countries around the world, Guatemala, India, and other places, that are so horrific, you have to say, I thought this ended with the Nuremberg trials, the whole thing about the Nazi doctors. But there's a lot of cruelty and strange and unusual things that happen in the name of medical science that we're still having to deal with these things that are hanging on.
Particularly in end-stage cancer, when they just start throwing experimental chemotherapy at people, is one of the most horrible things that I've witnessed in a lot of patients that I'm aware of.
Yeah, Dr. Gonzalez, I mean, you've been through the full-on medical training. You've seen it from the inside out. It just is astonishing how the profession, although there are good people in it, we acknowledge and recognize those people, but so much of the experimentation model, whether it be, as Suzanne says, an end-stage cancer treatment or many other things, is really quite brutal and dehumanizing.
Yeah, back in the 1990s when bone marrow transplant came into flower and turned out not to be as valuable as people thought, it was estimated that 10 to 30% of the patients undergoing the procedure would die from the procedure. But it had been sold to the public through the media, through trial lawyers who sued insurance companies to get it covered, that patients were lining up for it. And it was absolutely useless for most cancers. And 10 to 30% of them had their lives shortened. There was no investigation. There aren't any oncologists in jail for promoting it inappropriately in the absence of data. Women died from getting bone marrow transplants for breast cancer. I saw it when I was being trained, people dying. They were doing it on children, and I would just be horrified. Yeah, there are situations where it works, But it was so egregiously, terrifically horrible procedure to witness and to be involved in doing. I just never want to do that again. I'd rather be a farmer, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awful.
I found that consistent with almost all the doctors that I interviewed, that they just could no longer participate. Dr. Brzezinski said to me, and then it was confirmed by Dr. Gonzalez, he said, we all know in the oncology world that chemotherapy does absolutely nothing whatsoever for pancreatic cancer. So I said then, why? Why would they put a patient through that? And he said, palliative. I said, meaning, he said, it makes the patient feel like something's being done, and the family feels like something's being done. And also, needed to be mentioned how expensive it is to die of chemotherapy.
Hmm.
So, when we know it, something doesn't work, this is really, for me, it's a crime against humanity to give a patient something that is not going to do anything other than maybe extend their lives by 1 to 4 months, but a horrible quality, degraded life. I feel if you're in that shape, it'd be better to go to Tuscany and dance with your wife.
Yes.
One of the sad things I found about the Dateline piece is I can't tell you how many times I spoke to the producer, Amy Schmitz, how many dozens and dozens and dozens of emails and hundreds and thousands of pages of documents. She interviewed five or six of my advanced cancer patients that had done well in my program, including stage 4 colon, has been with me 8 years, stage 4 breast cancer with metastases in the lung, been with me 5 years, doing terrifically. The guy with colon cancer, all his tumors are gone on scans. She also wanted the records of 10 other patients who were long-term survivors with appropriately diagnosed advanced or poor prognosis or terminal disease. I gave her 15, and I wrote up a case history for each one and included copies of the records, 15, and she wanted 10. Not one word of any of that on the Dateline piece. Instead, they spent half the time of my segment talking about hair tests, which is an ancillary test. It would be like spending half an hour on the fact that I do blood work. I mean, yes, I do blood work and I do a hair test, but that's not the point. The point of this study, the point of this piece should be the patients who are doing well. It doesn't matter if I use moon dust. The results are what count. That's all that mattered, but the producer was not interested in the results. It didn't fit the storyline. And she basically categorically ignored the great majority of patients that I presented to her, many of whom she'd interviewed who did well. They did include the one with pancreatic cancer, but even there, they so colored it, you wouldn't realize what an extraordinary case she was. I mean, she was diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic, impeccably diagnosed with the most aggressive type of pancreatic cancer, given a year to live if she were lucky. They said she's out 9 years. She's actually out 10 years, so they got that wrong, too. And she's doing great. And they said Gonzalez claims the tumors regress. Well, first of all, her 10-year survival proves that she's doing well. But it was the CAT scans, the sequential CAT scans done by her local doctors in Colorado that showed the tumors were regressing, not my opinion. It was the opinion of the radiologist based on reviewing the CAT scans. Well, even her case, they tried to color it to make it less impressive. And then the one proponent, my one supporter, Julian Hyman, they tried to marginalize him. You know, they had Andrew Weil and Kasselith talking about me, even though neither one of them have ever spent 1 second in my office or talked to me about my results or asked to review cases. Julian Hyman was sent by the medical board to get me, you know, 15 years ago, became a close friend. He saw miracles, as he said in a written document that he signed. He saw miracles in my office. Mm. And he's not just some, you know, run-of-the-mill oncologist. His brother was an oncologist, professor at Columbia. Dr. Hyman's son was former director of National Institutes of Mental Health. He's currently provost of Harvard University. His nephew is a doctor. It's a really powerful, extraordinary medical family. And they didn't mention anything about his family or him, his own background. This is an esteemed oncologist, which is why the medical board sent him to me, because they figured if anyone could get rid of me, it was Julian Hyman. And it turned out he saw what we were doing and became a close friend. And even he was very interested in the hair test because he thought it was very accurate. So they left all that out. They tried to color him or Mark. They couldn't leave him out because they had to have something to make it, quote, fair, end quote. But they really, just like with Sarah Cooper, the pancreatic cancer patient, they tried to marginalize Julian Hyman. And they gave all this time to Andrew Weil and Kasselith, who's not even a physician or a scientist, to discussing my work as if they knew anything about my work.
Yeah, well, we know of the bias that is most apparent regarding the fact that on the commercial breaks in many, you know, daytime and nighttime media, Big Pharma has their commercials. So we can immediately say, okay, there's going to be some level of bias, but could the bias be going deeper? I know here we are out creating the old media, getting a message out to those that are ready to hear it. And there are many family members, friends that are talking about these things that we're doing here that are putting a, you know, a real magnifying glass on the old media. What have we learned since the Dateline appearance and since they aired it about some of the reporters or reporting that might even go deeper to help us understand this media bias that, you know, is apparent in this case, but may be much larger than that?
Well, I've never taken Nancy Snyderman that seriously. I don't take doctors that, you know, end up doing her kind of promotional work too seriously. But Nancy's had some problems in her life. In 1999, she and her husband were involved with insider trading, where she was on the board of the Coop Foundation, and he was setting up a website that he thought would make trillions of dollars. You know, that was the thinking in the 1990s. And she and her husband brokered a stock deal where their stock went from $1 to $47 a share, and she and her husband made a big killing on it. This was found out, and she had to give back $50,000. Now, it's my understanding that insider trading is a crime, but she didn't. Apparently, there was no criminal prosecution. Then in 2002, while serving as the chief medical correspondent for ABC News, lo and behold, she's taking money from Johnson & Johnson to do radio spots in total violation of her ABC contract and in violation of professional journalistic ethics being what they are in journalism. But ABC was so appalled, they actually suspended her, which is unheard of. She and Huff quit, went to work at Johnson & Johnson as a vice president for consumer education, and brought her producer, Amy Schmitz, with her to Johnson & Johnson in 2006. NBC hires her. After that history, I was kind of astonished that they would have done that. And Nancy, loyal to her friends, brings Amy back on board. So they went from, you know, being suspended at ABC to working at Johnson & Johnson to back to NBC. I mean, these are people with strong industry ties, strong drug industry ties. I mean, they're not going to be interested in promoting something like my work, sure, even if it is valid.
Well, we've seen the revolving door between big pharma and big government. Now we're seeing it between big media and big pharma. Suzanne, you've been in the media, a media figure for a long time. Was this initially kind of a disillusionment with your own industry at the time? Obviously, it wasn't in news per se, but look at what's happened.
Well, talking to me.
Oh, Suzanne, I'm sorry.
I think to understand the filter and why we are not getting the truth, any of us as the viewing public, is because the pharmaceutical companies, along with food manufacturers, along with chemical companies, own the media and airwaves, and they own the government. And the only thing that those of us who'd like to go another way is to go grassroots and radio shows like yours and books and just keep getting information out in another way, because they've got it all sewn up. You cannot get a politician to take this side even if they believe in it, because they can't forego the funding. And so it's a brilliant business model for the large corporations, but it's the doom of us. It's like genetically modified food. If the public really understood the devastating effects, and what we don't know long term, but what I perceive as long term could be the end of humanity with a genetically modified foods, but we're not getting the information. It doesn't have to be listed as such.
Yeah.
So when you buy it, so there's a big filter. And there's a lot of, through that filter, we are being deceived. But I do believe that human beings are smart, and they can smell when somebody's onto something. And I think that is why, even though they tried to discredit Dr. Gonzalez and Dr. Brzezinski on this Dateline piece,
yes,
that the response from people was that they could see through the lines. And that's
nice.
All you can really hope for at this point. And then, of course, there's a show like this where you can actually talk.
Ah, it's beautiful. I want to talk some more after this break about that. The out creating the new media or the old media to create the new media and get a message out there that is beyond even hopeful. It's rooted in reality, and things that we're talking about are the reality. Dr. Gonzalez and those that you covered in your book Knockout are providing very powerful tools, simple tools that people can access. I want to talk more about that on the other side of this break with Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Stay with us. Very powerful healing radio coming up after the break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
He's a brave
and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome back once again. Thank you for being here for the special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through naturalnews.com. Thanks. A shout out to Mike Adams for helping to make all of this possible. There's also a special interview with Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez coming up later this evening. Jonathan Landsman will be doing that with Nick, and maybe even Mike Adams will participate. So there's a lot of exciting things happening with this new creation, the new media, and the old media is having to pay attention because people, you out there, you're putting the heat on NBC and these other things, other places, to get the truth out, and you're not believing the lies that were once very easy to foment. Thanks to people such as Suzanne Summers and all of her wonderful books, including Knockout, which is really having a knockout effect out there, and they're having to cover it. Thanks, Suzanne, for all that you're doing.
It's an honor. Having been diagnosed with cancer twice in my life, once correctly, once incorrectly, I understand the fear upon being given that death sentence, and I understand what happens in that diagnostic room. And in both cases, in my personal situation, I was offered to start chemotherapy that day. If you're not an informed patient, you are so frightened when you're diagnosed with cancer that, and most people are like children with their doctors. They do what they're told rather than say, I'm going to go away and research this. Had I been another kind of patient, I might have taken that chemotherapy and I probably wouldn't be here today. But there's a template that's in place, and even the most sophisticated, the most intelligent people, when given that diagnosis, will follow the standard of care. And when doctors prescribe a standard of care, say, for chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer, even knowing it doesn't work, they do know also that if the patient dies, they can't be sued because they followed standard of care. And these are the handcuffs that are out there. So the patient has to inform themselves, and that's what I try to do with my books. I'm able to listen to a Dr. Gonzalez and question him, go back, and I type them down. You mean, when you said this, did you mean?
Beautiful.
I figure if I can get it to a place where it absolutely makes sense backwards and forwards to me, then I'll be able to relay it to my reader.
Well, you realize that, you know, even as you've been in the public eye for a long time in the entertainment industry, it's just a microcosm of the larger, you know, environment. All the people of the world, there's going to be a fraction of the people that will really get it. As you acknowledge, we've witnessed many, you know, very wealthy Hollywood-type celebrities have chosen the path of traditional allopathic oncology and have ended up worse or dead. And yet there are some that have been outspoken over the years. I remember interviewing Jane Seymour many years ago and her openness to homeopathy. Her sister's a homeopathic physician in England. And so there are people, they're still kind of were kept on the fringe a bit, but they were bright lights in there trying to do their level best. You had the courage and tenaciousness like almost nobody else to go out and do what you've done with all the books and things, and Knockout is really knocking them out. And I am so pleased that you included Dr. Nick in this too, because of the work he's done and I've seen over the years is so sensational. So I don't mean to keep saying thanks, but
I wanted to interview.
Yeah,
he was my first choice. I read a piece that Dr. Gonzalez wrote years ago that I saved, and I kept a file. And when I was in the hospital 2 years ago, being told I had cancer everywhere in my body, I said to my husband, "I've been keeping a file on doctors who are curing cancer, in most cases without drugs. And if I can get out of this hospital, I want you to take me to one of them." And I had specifically remembered this article I read that Nick Gonzalez had written. And it so moved me. And that was the beginning of this journey.
Well, again, it's playing a vital role in awakening so many. And you know, Dr. Nick, it's not that you've been toiling in obscurity as well. You're right in there in Manhattan and New York City. But at the same time, I still find it so funny that they wanted to see your financial records as if to ignore the entire field of oncology, which is profiting off of sickness and death. And here you are just humbly going about providing something that is so simple and beautiful, yet so profound in its impact in a positive way, empowering so many people this way.
Oh, yeah, well, it's amazing. About the fourth question out of Amy Schmidt's mouth during our first interview was the finances. She immediately went to the finances because her assumption, it was a whole series of assumptions she's made that were all false, that this can't possibly work. That was her premise. So therefore, bright guys like Gonzalez must be in it just out of greed, and that had to be the case. And she was almost disappointed when I sent her my tax records. That's why she didn't have them on air, because they were so embarrassingly low.
I so wish they would have shown that.
I
would like you to make more money, Nick, but I wish.
Well, you know, the problem is it's not covered by insurance. We recognize that.
Right.
And even though I've designed many of the supplements, one of the mythologies in the critics of alternative medicine is we're making all this money from supplements. I don't make any money from our supplements, even though we've designed the method for making enzymes, because we know if I did, which is ethical and legal to do so,
yes,
but it would double the cost. So I don't get any money either directly or indirectly from the supplements. So it's just not really feasible, and you know, it's not covered by insurance. So we have to keep the cost down so people can afford
yeah.
it. So,
and I'm
having spoken to so many of Dr. Gonzalez's patients, they love him.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in email contact with Dr. Gonzalez, which all his patients are, you send him an email, and you will hear back that day. You will probably hear back that hour. He works harder than anybody I know. He seems to be working from early morning till late at night. He looks tired all the time. I want him to go take a vacation, but he never does. It's a labor of love and passion and compassion. And,
yeah.
That should have come through also, because that's a big part of healing, is the belief
yes.
that you can get better.
Well, there's
Dr.
great...
Nick will make...
Yeah, there's a great joy, of course, when you're able to help and see these things happen. And you know, you just can't help but be happy and want to do it more and more. And you can really thrive with that kind of energy. I want to go back to the business model, because Dr. Nick mentioned this, you know, that it's not covered by insurance. And, you know, he's not protected by a monopoly in what he does. There's no free market in medicine. So what he does has to compete with that which is covered by third parties, whether it be private or government. And this is another distortion of the marketplace. And Suzanne, you're a wonderful businesswoman as well. You understand this, that when you actually have to compete, you innovate. You find ways to reduce costs, and you want to serve the people, because if you don't, then you don't have customers. But the artificial monopoly
right.
creates this customer base that I think if there really was a free market for cancer treatment, I think that the oncological field would by and large be out of business. Because of what the innovation would happen, and of course the natural methods would come to the surface, because these synthetic toxic medicines would not have the protection of government in the same way they do now.
Also, patients had to pay for chemotherapy on their own, out of their own pocket. They would ask much harder questions than they do. I mean, there's the mythology that it's free. Of course, it's not free. We all pay for it anyway. But insurance covers it, and they don't have to pay for it directly. There's an indirect cost, of course.
Yeah.
So there's no... If they had to pay for chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer, they'd say, whoa, do I really want to spend $100,000 on a chemotherapy regimen that extends my life maybe 6 weeks and causes all kinds of side effects?
Right.
I don't think I want to do that. So it actually, government actually encourages bad medicine the way it always did, the way it always does, the way it did in the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany when the government controlled healthcare. When the government controls things, when insurance companies or third parties control things, when you take it away from the doctor-patient, it leads to bad medicine. And patients don't have to ask hard questions. All they do is have to go to the doctor. The oncologist says, yeah, you have to get chemo, you have pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they line up and do it. If they have to pay for it and pay $80,000 or $100,000, they'd think real hard about doing it if it didn't work.
Yeah.
They'd rather give the money to their kids. That would be more sensible. But medicine, as they always say, is the last great religion in America. You know, America's become very irreligious, fortunately or unfortunately, it has.
Mm.
People don't trust politicians, they don't trust religious leaders, they don't trust anyone except medicine. You know, medicine is like a religion. You know, they have their temples like Memorial Sloan Kettering, which even looks like a temple. MD Anderson and the doctors have their own language, the way the great Hebrew priest did, and they have their own clothes the way the great Hebrew priest did. You know, one of the characteristics of all priests, whatever the reason, they have their own clothing. And, of course, doctors have their white coats and their stethoscopes and all the accoutrements of their priestly class. The last remaining religion is medicine. That's why all these rich, successful, bright people, as soon as they get cancer, they run off to Sloan Kettering. Even if there's no chance in hell that it could possibly be beneficial, they run off and do it because they have such great faith that these bright, mystical priests have the answer to their problem,
yeah.
even when there's no evidence that they do. But it's the last remaining religion, and even their institutions look like temples.
You're right. I covered
that's one of the problems.
Yesterday on my show, I covered this about, you know, that a whole segment of our society on the left and the right have, abandoned the religion of their youth and really replaced it with modern medicine. They don't question, you know, the cognitive ability to look at, like Suzanne is doing. She's questioning. And my gosh, that's an appropriate thing to do if there ever was one.
And to question, you get called a quack. And sometimes when I read things about myself, I think I am telling people that organic food, balancing their hormones, managing their stress, eliminating chemicals from their life and household as best they can, is, to me, just common sense. And yet, when you go out there and say that, it's quackery. It's quite frustrating, but at the same time, there is a movement afoot, and we all know it, of people who are standing back saying, like so many of the doctors that I've had the privilege of interviewing, what we've been doing isn't working. We have to find another way. And I think there's a lot of people who are listening to this show, who are reading the books, who are standing back saying, something is not working. I want to find another way. And when you look at a Dr. Gonzalez, who is, you know, really, my husband is always trying to find ways to help him make more money. He's not, he doesn't think like that.
I know, it's great, though.
It's what's so charming and beautiful about him is that I don't know a doctor in the world who is not selling supplements and making money on supplements. It's just, you have to meet Dr. Gonzalez to understand the purity, and to meet his wife, who so understands who he is. This is a treasure. Dr. Gonzalez is a treasure.
Absolutely. I'm in 100% agreement.
Yes, absolutely. So what has happened to me after writing Knockout is I am no longer afraid of cancer. And that's what I hope that this book does for people. If, depending on what cancer I had, I would know what protocol I would utilize. I am the type of person who would be very compliant to Dr. Gonzalez. Taking pancreatic enzymes, I already take them. Eating organic food, I already do that. Eliminating chemicals, I already do that. Sleeping 8 hours a night, I already do that. I don't take any pharmaceutical drugs, not anti-pharmaceutical, but I just don't need them. If I needed them, I guess I would take them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a way to live in this modern, polluted world with cancer at alarming rates and survive.
Yes.
But right now, it's really important that people understand that survival is going to take some effort on your part. You can't just sit back and eat processed food and then wonder why you've got cancer.
Right, exactly. And when we come back, we've got one short segment left with Suzanne Summers and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Really, quite a conversation, the likes of which you don't normally hear in the media, about the freedom to heal and the power to heal. I just remind you every day that the power to heal is yours, and these guys right here with me doing the same thing. Grateful for it. We'll be right back with one final segment, healing cancer and the freedom to know about the ways to do so, after this.
Tired of the same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show special edition. Really conversational, going places that you'll never hear in the old media, and we're glad to be here doing it. Suzanne Summers, my guest, as well as Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. Lots of things happening in the world of, let's say, consciousness shifting. I mean, this is the thing. People aren't believing the same things. We talked about the Church of Modern Medicine. My friend John Rappaport calls it the Church of Biological Mysticism. And, looking at the realities here, Suzanne's questioning, and Dr. Nick questioned the things he saw as a physician, and now is in a position, as both of them are, to help many people, empower them to basically go a different path, a different way. And our message is one of freedom. You know, we can talk, sometimes I'm honest, I'll talk angrily about modern medicine because I get upset about what they did to me, but I'm not victimized by it. It taught me a lot. But the reality is we just want the freedom to choose the path that is right for us. And I think Suzanne, Dr. Nick, you both are in support of that.
And I think what I'm trying to do, which I know Dr. Gonzalez is trying to do, is generate trust. If you just keep telling the truth in his practice, in my books, in the interviews, just keep telling the truth so that people can read it, stand back, digest it, and say, you know, that resonates. That's something that I think that I could do. That appeals to me. Because right now, what I always ask people who are telling me they're about to start a regimen of chemotherapy, I always say, did you ask the doctor, if I take this chemotherapy, will it cure me? Because we all know, with the exception of three kinds of cancer, the answer is no. And nobody ever asks that question. They ask, all they're ever told is that tumor will shrink, which is pretty meaningless. It gives you a little more time when that tumor shrinks. So it's asking the questions, and I think that that question isn't asked because of fear.
Yeah, and fear, of course, can create disease, including cancer. And Dr. Gonzalez, you know, even as trained as a physician, there's so much more to cancer than just physiology, although we've got to do our level best to clean up the physiology that has been corrupted and intoxicated. But the emotional and even spiritual aspects of this are very real, and most physicians don't tend to look at us other than machines.
No, it's interesting. When I first met the controversial Dr. Kelly, who got me on this pathway toward nutrition, I was already doing research at Sloan. I was a medical student at Cornell. They're affiliated with Sloan Kettering. And I was really a biochemically oriented research student who expected to spend the rest of his life in basic science research at Sloan Kettering. I didn't even expect to see patients. I was going to go on a research path. I met Kelly, got really interested in his work, and realized he was this guy from Texas considered crazy with coffee enemas, was reversing advanced cancer. And I was watching him work with patients summer of 1981, and in a break I asked him, you know, what percentage of cancer do you think is purely nutritional, biochemical? What percent do you think is psychological? And what percent spiritual? Thinking you'd say it's all nutritional. Like we're laboratory rats, it's all nutritional, which is the answer I wanted and expected.
Yes.
And he leaned back in his chair and he said, well, it's 100% physical, nutritional, every patient. He waited 10 seconds. He said, 100% psychological. Waited 10 seconds. And he said, it's 100% spiritual in every single patient, including in you. And that was a real eye-opener, and it took me about 10 years to really appreciate how true that was. But yeah, we look at nutrition as the foundation. You know, humans are not laboratory rats. We're not rabbits. We really are a different creature, and we have a spiritual and psychological aspect that is as important as the nutritional foundation, and that will influence the physiology and biochemistry profoundly, as even conventional physicians are starting to realize. So in every single patient, you have to address not only the nutritional physical foundation, but the psychological and the spiritual. And if you don't, you're going to run into trouble, because the psychological and spiritual conflicts in a patient can interfere with biochemical and physiological progress. So you need to consider all three elements always in every patient. You have to approach them differently.
On a lighter note,
yes.
Of the patients that I interviewed of Dr. Gonzalez, especially the two older women, the one who was 71 and the other one was 74, who had been clean for 12 and 17 years, and they started joking about their coffee enemas, and one said, well, you know, I like French roast.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there were all kinds of jokes, you know, about the coffee.
You know, most of the people relative to coffee enemas said, I've grown to enjoy it. It's a nice part of my day. It's a relaxing part of my day. I think the triumph here is that for 1 hour last week, for 1 hour, alternatives had their moment in national prime time, because alternatives are a growing movement that has gotten under their skin, and even though they put it on to tear it apart, we still got a full hour, and enough people became aware of options, which up till now I don't think anyone has known there's been any other way that anybody was doing it. And I know that if I was sitting at home that night and I had just been diagnosed, or somebody I loved had just been diagnosed, and I was full of that fear, and I know how horrible, most people are more afraid of the treatment than the cancer itself, I would have sat back and said, I'm going to look into these options. And so in that sense, even though it's frustrating that they did not do right by Dr. Gonzalez or Dr. Brzezinski, at least we had that moment. And I think we have to hold on to every little victory.
Oh, yeah, obviously they're taking us seriously. I mean, 10 years ago, they wouldn't have deemed us important enough to waste valuable NBC time on crazy people like Gonzalez, Suzanne, and Brzezinski. So we had our moment in the sun, even if there was an eclipse at the time, but we still had a moment in the sun.
Yeah, and you know, it's only the beginning. I mean, this really is a trend. It's not just an anomaly what has happened here. There's evidence that the mainstream old media is now starting to pay attention. They're looking at natural news, and they're suddenly covering these stories because their own reporters don't know how to even cover them. So inevitably there is a shift,
and because they themselves are getting sick, because they themselves have a husband or a child or a mother or a sister who has been diagnosed with cancer, and everyone is now afraid because it is the biggest killer in the world.
So why are we
closing off any avenues?
And the only
someday I'm going to write a book just about my doctor patients, my conventional doctors who were patients of mine doing great, and a lot of them become really good friends.
Nice.
Well, you know, on that, wasn't there a poll taken in Canada 2 years ago of doctor oncologists, and all of them were asked, would they, if they were diagnosed or someone in their family, would they take chemotherapy? And every single one said no.
Yeah, they
wouldn't do it.
That is the shift. And, you know, fear is something that we certainly don't want to end on. But if there wasn't a disease that I would endorse, it's not really a disease. It would be a fear deficiency disease, because that would result in more health and more vitamin L getting into our lives. And I call that vitamin L is love, which it replaces the fear. And you guys, I love you dearly, actually, for what you both are doing. I appreciate you so much. And this has probably been one of the fastest hours ever, just this conversation together. And I hope that we'll have an opportunity to do more. And there's a lot of things that are happening that, you know, you'll be a big part of. And I'm grateful for both of you. Suzanne, please tell everybody your website again.
SuzanneSummers.com. Thank you.
Very easy. And Dr. Nick Gonzalez also has Dr.-Gonzalez.com. I have both of them linked up at the blog. And we'll do a lot more healing here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you for being a part of this special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show, a conversation with Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez and Suzanne Summers. We'll have lots more things that you won't get anywhere else in the media. And remember, the thing that I try to do every day here is to remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.